You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 15th of January. The Utah Jazz are just really good. One of the most impressive performance of the year. Stars abound. Giddiness from all. The Jazz dominate the Brooklyn Nets, win their 10th straight, and we're talking about it on Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day, which is hard to do right now since they have won 10 straight ball games, and they have won 10 straight for the 10th time in Utah history. They did it last year. They had not done it since 2009. And last night's performance led to a little lock insanity. And it was really fun.
O'Neal picked back up by the Nets. 35 seconds left in the quarter. 10 on the shot clock. Driving is Dinwiddie. Curls out because he's scared of the monster named Gobert. Bad pass right to Rudy. Rudy skips it ahead to Bogdanovich. Bogdanovich at the rim for a layup. Rudy Gobert is dominating this game. 59-45. Oh, he's mean. He's prickly. He's got sharp teeth. He's got claws. He's inside. It's the monster named Gobert. And mom and dad say don't get near. Don't go without adult supervision. He's an evil, evil man inside.
You're going to scare kids, man.
Prince driving. Gobert there. Underhand air ball. Here come the Jazz the other way. Bogdanovich at the horn from half court. No good. Rudy Gobert. How good are you? Wow. Pure domination in the last 5 minutes. Gobert leading the Jazz to a 14-point lead. 59-45. Rudy with a strut down the tunnel, dominating this basketball game. We'll come back with the second half.
Rudy Gobert was incredible in the final 5 minutes of the second quarter. Brooklyn scores about 2 points. There's a play in there. If you listen to Jazz Game Rewind, he basically single-handedly creates a 24-second shot clock violation. He was incredible. Post-game interview, he literally says, I knew they were scared to come in. And they were. It was remarkable. He is just great. Gobert's final line last night includes 10 screen assists as well. So triple-double for Gobert last night, as he finishes last night with 22 points, 18 rebounds, 10 screen assists, 4 overall assists, 2 block shots, 1 steal. And if you get into it deeper, he just bent the entire shot chart of the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets are a pretty darn good offensive team. With Kyrie and Spencer Dinwiddie, they're really good. They're also the 10th best defensive team in the league. Last night, the Jazz just riddled them. Dallas has gotten them recently. They had a really bad defense game against Dallas and Toronto. But that was one of their worst defensive nights of the year. Offensively, again, I kind of feel like the Jazz just were playing to what they needed to. But if you look at the offensive distribution of shots last night by the Brooklyn Nets, they ended up taking, I think, 2 corner threes all night, the fewest they've taken in any game all year. They took only 26% of their shots as threes last night, the second lowest number of shots they've taken all year from three. They took 30.5% of their shots as mid-range shots last night, which is the most amount of mid-range shots the Brooklyn Nets, second most amount of night, the Brooklyn Nets have taken against any team all season long. I mean, Rudy just killed their shot chart. Killed it. They got to the rim a decent amount because they just kept going and there was nothing else for them to do. And they shot 69% at the rim, so it doesn't, you'd have to have watched the game a little bit. They actually made their long twos at a really high rate. They did not make a single corner three, and they shot just 32% from three. It's so much more than any of us realize. His instincts. Matt Harper was talking to me on the bus after the game about that there was a play where basically he's backpedaling, handling the ball handler, has one arm out one way, one arm out the other. So he's basically guarding three guys. He's truly that remarkable. And offensively last night, Rudy made plays. Like legitimate, bona fide, real plays last night. Euro step to the basket finish. Jared Allen started the game by playing all the way back in the restricted area, just insulting him. So he just power dribbled him, moved him out of the basket, and dunked on him. Not to mention, he positions himself perfectly on offensive rebounds to get there. It was an awesome performance. It was an awesome performance by the Jazz. Joe Ingles and Donovan Mitchell deserve huge amounts of conversation. But the Jazz as a whole last night in their 10th straight win, that was dominating. You never thought that game was in doubt. The Vegas line when the day starts was -1. I always look at this for the following reason. We're so embedded. We care so much. We're so emotionally involved that I don't always believe that we can see it clearly. Those guys are making a living off it. So what do they think? How do they look at it? And frankly, we're about 50-50 against the spread this year, last time I checked. So they're usually pretty good. So the Vegas line started at, or it's not going to be called the Vegas line anymore, just the gambling line. The gambling line started at 1 and moved to 3, and we won. We were up 20. Like, that's a dominating performance, unexpected, shouldn't have been at that level. They were expecting possession by possession down the end, and the Jazz were just completely dominant of the Brooklyn Nets. And on all sorts of different levels. There were plays last night that just were 100% who and what makes the Utah Jazz great. There were plays last night where they spun it, moved it, extra passes. Guys had decent shots. They turned into great shots. There were plays last night where the energy and effort, Jordan Clarkson diving on the floor to kick it to Tony Bradley, was just, it's just elite level stuff. Elite level stuff. Last night was a night of how good can we be? I got on the bus. That's what I asked Matt Harper. How good? Our talent might run out at some point. Like, as great as Rudy is, as great as Donovan, as super as Boyan, like, there might be a team that's better than us, that has more talent. So our talent could run out at some point. But boy, right now, are they as dialed in, connected? It's fun. Rudy said in the post-game show, it's fun. You don't want it to stop. You want to just get out there again. You have a group you enjoy being with. It's incredible. The numbers are through the roof. The individual performances are endless. It's really amazing to watch what's taking place here. And the credit, the fun part is we can credit everyone, right? The front office, the Miami earthquake changed everything. Quinn Snyder's day-to-day obsession with dominating the details, getting this team to be better, moving them in the right direction at all times, and then the players buying in and getting together after a tumultuous open to the season. It's kind of awesome. It's not kind of awesome. It's totally awesome. And it is good to be a Jazz fan right now. Today's show is brought to you by The Store at 6200 South and 20th East. It's the old days. It was the young Bowler Jack high school kids that were helping out with the groceries and giving you the community feel. Now it's the next generation. I was there the other day, and the nice woman that helped me check out had just gotten into the University of Utah and was so excited. And you get that community feel of who they are, of that you're part of a neighborhood. And then when you go through the store, it's Utah's own. That's what Jeff and Scott make sure, that it's Utah's own, whether it's the salsa, whether it's a fun thing like the cotton candy, whether it's some other product that's a Utah's own product, they're going to highlight it. They're going to spotlight it. They're going to put them in good. Whether it's Paige's pickled items, right? It can be anything. Gives you this community feel, plus all the other basics you need. In the store at 6200 South and 20th East, they're making the pico de gallo right in the back with all cutting up. They've got the hot stove in the back as well with the great meats as that they have set up for you. And then the mudslide cookies to the right, the cake de flores, the June pies, all of the fabulous little pieces. And there's a new store downtown at the Gateway, located right across the street from the Children's Museum and right down from the arena. And if you're working downtown, great place to go grab lunch, see what's around there, and also pick up anything else you might need. It's the store, 6200 South, 20th East, also located at the Gateway. Last night, Joe Ingles and Rudy Gobert dominated the game. Joe Ingles and Rudy Gobert ran 18 pick and rolls. 12 of them ended in plays where either Gobert or Ingles took a shot. They scored 19 points. 1.6 points per what's called direct action off their pick and roll. That's just ridiculous. I mean, that. So you have Donovan Mitchell you can go to. You have Bojan Bogdanović you can go to. And you've got a Joe Ingles, Rudy Gobert pick and roll, which is now ranked, according to Ben Dowson on Twitter, as the fourth best pick and roll lineup in the NBA. I'm going to talk about Joe and Donovan, but I want to back up to Tony Bradley for a minute. I've talked to you guys a lot about players who make bad plays once or twice a night, and so you can't overcome all of the other stuff. I frankly talked about this. One of my favorite people, so I hate bringing this up, but it was really what caused Alec Burks to be a negative player for a huge amount of his career, was that at some point in every night, he would throw a pass above the break, turnover, going back the other way, and often twice. And if you do that and they score, it's, particularly if you do it twice, it's almost impossible, no matter everything else you do, to be a positive plus-minus player. So, like, if you have an opening possession, it's one, you know, when a possession starts, think about it this way mathematically, you get 1 point. Like, the average in the league is about 1.1 points per possession. So what you're trying to do is be the player that pushes that number beyond. So if you go and do an Alec Burks Houdini or you hit a shot, you know, like, you're actually just pushing, you're not actually pushing it, like, 0.9 because not every shot is missed. It's, you know, okay, you made a play. When you go give up a above the break turnover, you're not only giving up a point because you didn't get the shot and you just killed your own possession, you're giving them a point for an automatic 2 points. And it's a killer. You can't overcome it. Jeff Green did this too. That's why he's always been a negative plus minus player. Tony Bradley's doing the opposite. We can sit here and look at all the maybe mistakes Tony Bradley's making. But Tony Bradley is making two plays a night, maybe even three, where he keeps a ball alive. He scores a bucket that some other guys wouldn't because he's quick, where he's pushing his plus-minus the other direction. I'm not entirely convinced yet Tony's playoff ready. Like, I get that argument. I think it's a worthwhile discussion. But I'm watching Tony play right now, and he got a zero last night, plus-minus zero. That is so mammoth. When you have the best three-man lineups and you have the best four-man lineups and you have one of the best five-man lineups in the NBA, Tony Bradley just needs to be even. We don't need Tony Bradley to be positive plus-minus. Our other guys should do that. If they lose, if our starting five key six guys lose on a given night, okay, it's not really Tony Bradley's job to make up for that. But what we couldn't have is what we had before, which is that any time our starters were winning and then our bench was so bad in the limited time they're on the floor that they were losing the game. That they were losing. You can't have that. Now Tony Bradley, despite too many fouls, despite not being the greatest rim protector, despite all the negatives you can look at, is doing the opposite. He's making one or two plays a night, a back tap, a tip, whatever it might be. Not a tip in on a free throw for the other guys. That's not great. He's even zero. And then our other bunch guys are positive right now. Manuel Mudiay was positive last night. Jordan Clarkson was not. I think he was the one player that turned out to not be positive last night. And George Niang, despite what I thought was a tough night for George Niang, because they went at him last night, the spread floor, and he went 0 for 3 shooting, he was still a plus 6. And then you got Donovan's plus 20, Rudy's plus 11, Joe's plus 9. Like, that's the way this thing works. And that's what makes, you know, this is where you get dominant. Our offensive rating, over 107, we're now 22 or 23 and 0. I should probably pull up my own notes and know them. That's absolutely 100% the essence of our domination right now. 23-0 when Rudy Gobert plays and our offensive rating is above 107. Well, if Tony Bradley's going to go make one or two plays every night and our bench will be over 107 because our main guys are nowhere close. Frankly, in the top 10 games, in the last 10 games, our offensive rating is a 120. A 120. This stuff is ridiculous. Enjoy it, frankly. At some point, it has to slow down, kind of. That's the craziest thing to me about last night. Look at that box score. What's unusual? Like, what is unusual about that box score last night? Okay, let's look at it. The Jazz shoot 36 threes last night. So it's not a huge amount for them, but it's pretty good shot distribution. And they hit 13. So they shot 36%. So the Jazz, who are a 40% three-point shooting team, hit 36 threes last night. Or hit 36% threes. That's not unusual. They took 15 free throw attempts. Not unusual. They had 7 offensive rebounds. Nothing unusual. They had 8 turnovers. That's actually a little unusual for us, right? Like, for our turnover rate to be 8%, that's the unusual part of last night. That makes a difference. Our offensive rating was 121, according to the numbers I'm looking at. We shot an effective field goal percentage of 57%. We were unusually good on twos, maybe at 59%. We shot 50% as the team. And so maybe that's a little high. But we do have, you know, we have guys that kind of do that, right? Like, that's Rudy Gobert and dunking at the rim, and it's kind of who we are. But to me, what jumped out last night, there's nothing totally crazy going on other than the turnovers. We're in the 91st percentile in not turning the ball over last night. Okay, so that's our 120 is probably a little high. But we're in the 32nd percentile in rebounding, 25th percentile in free throw rate, 72nd percentile in shooting. Wasn't anything crazy there. We hit 4 of our 6 floaters and 16 of our 31 mid-range shots. Okay, or excuse me, 12 of our 25 of our floaters and 16 of our 31 mid-range shots. That's probably a little high. All right, so there, those are the two outliers. But that got us to 120. We also could have had an outlier where we shot the 3 well. We could also have an outlier where we got a bunch of offensive rebounds. Like, it just feels like we're running at this insane level of an offensive rating in the last 10 games since Jordan Clarkson joined the team of a 122. And it doesn't seem, I mean, it's not sustainable. Our effective field goal percentage is 59%. That seems like it should be unsustainable. But it doesn't feel totally crazy, if that makes sense. It's not like, I mean, it's certainly, we're the number one shooting team in the league in that time period. We're not going to the free throw line a lot. We're 23rd in the league going to the line. We're 6th best at not turning the ball over. That's a huge change from where we were. And we're proving we can be a good turnover team and not have it impact our shooting, which is interesting. We're 19th in offensive rebounding. That's it. Those are the 4 factors. We might be the best shooting team in the league. Like, that's not, you know, 59.1 feels a little high, but we might be the best shooting team in the league. It's crazy. The numbers are just silly right now. So the last 10 games, obviously at 10-0, we're the best offense in the league. 10-0 since Jordan. Has any player ever joined a team and won 10 straight games? I was on the elevator with Rajon Tucker last night. I'm like, you're undefeated. Rajon Tucker's never lost an NBA game. He's 10-0. He's the magic bullet. How's that? Kind of cool. The Jazz have moved to 11th in the league offensively and 8th in the league defensively. And the net rating overall is 8th. Just climbing the chart. Second overall in the West. Joe Ingles and Donovan Mitchell were both so great last night. I do not want to forget it. We will continue and talk about it. Today's show is brought to you by Homie. Homie is doing really interesting things in the real estate world. So if you follow the real estate world, if you've ever been a part of the real estate or if you've bought a house before, you know that at the end of the process, the realtors get paid, and usually it's 6% of what the buyer pays for the house. So if you pay $200,000 house, the realtors are splitting $12,000. If you buy $424,000, it's a lot. Think about that. Is that really? Well, that made a lot of sense in my mind when we had houses that were $200,000. Maybe then, if it takes enough time, that's all right. But that's not actually how it works anymore, because houses aren't not always $200,000 anymore. So Homie is working to give you money back. They want to give you up to $5,000 back to help with closing costs and fees. That's right. Homie will refund you $5,000 back when you buy with home with your money. So you get $5,000 back. They'll still do all, they're not doing anything less. They're finding your dream home, touring homes, making offers, negotiating the best deals, working to get you $5,000 back. Text LOCK, L-O-C-K-E, to 88588. That's LOCK to 88588 for an experienced local Homie agent who will help you every step of the way. That's LOCK, L-O-C-K-E, to 88588. Joe Ingles has been so good. I mean, so good. Over the last 10 games, he's 50% from three, 50% from the field, running the pick and roll, putting the ball in his hands, working with Rudy. You know, the thing about he and Rudy, we all talk about the Derek pick and roll. Joe and Rudy were better last year by a slight amount than what Rudy and Derek were last night or last year. Well, now they're getting even better, because now they really have floor spacing that's pretty fabulous. Whenever Joe, I'll bet you that whenever Joe and Rudy ran a pick and roll, Derek Favors was on the floor. Now there's a open floor spread and lets them work with all sorts of space they didn't have. Remember, Rudy shot 70% last year in games in which when Derek Favors was off the floor. And we're seeing how that works. And Joe Ingles and Rudy Gobert have become a dominant, dominant tandem for the Utah Jazz and the fourth best combination of pick and roll in the NBA. When you look at the way that Joe just conducts the game, controls the game, there's a lot of elements to it. One, he's just terrific at it. Two, by being 6'8", there are not a lot of guys that are 6'8" that play the pick and roll the way Joe does. Which also means there aren't a lot of guys that are 6'8" that are used to defending the pick and roll with guarding Joe. And the other one that's the mystery to me, Brooklyn's really interesting, because Brooklyn has two really good defenders and two really bad defenders in their starting lineup on a spread floor. So Joe Harris is not particularly good defensive player, and nor is Kyrie Irving, and Torian Prince and Spencer Dinwiddie are thought of as pretty good defenders. Dinwiddie, I'm not sure if he's that good a defender, but generally he's thought of as being a he's thought of being a pretty good defender. The way teams open up defensively, so Prince guarded Donovan, Harris was on Boyan, and Kyrie was on Joe Ingles. Then they switched Kyrie to Royce O'Neal quickly and moved Spencer Dinwiddie on to Joe. So there you have a case where you've got a guard who's pretty used to guarding a pick and roll, and still by the end of the night, Joe's dominated him. Joe's ability, I mean, his shooting and aggressiveness shooting right now is ridiculous. What was he, 6 of 8 from three last night? He was really, really good. And then his ability in the pick and roll to just create. The one thing he doesn't do a lot on the pick and roll and probably would be the next step, and we'll see if teams force this, is I don't see him throw out to shooters a great deal. So it's either he or Rudy on that play. I had the numbers on the direct actions last night, so that would actually answer it. 12-18, so 6 different times it went somewhere else, which is frankly a higher rate than some of the others. So maybe that's not true anymore. That was true at one point in his career. Jazz offense last night when Ingles, O'Neal, Gobert, Bogdanovich, and Mitchell were on the floor was a 134. A 134. They shot 75% effective field goal percentage while they were on the floor last night. When Ingles was on the floor now with Clarkson, O'Neal, Gobert, and Bogdanovich, so under Donovan, it was a 1.1. Like, Joe was the common thread on all of this last night. Just awesome. He was really great. And then Donovan, like, let's not get to a point where when Donovan does what Donovan did in the fourth quarter, we forget about it. I mean, that's just special, dude. There just are not many guys in the league that can do what Donovan did. He just took over. And I don't know what Brooklyn was doing, shading him to one side, and then he was able to cut through every single time with the right hand. I think Brooklyn was so worried about the Gobert pick and trying to fight through the pick from Rudy that they jumped his left hand and gave him a straight line to the basket, which is not something we've ever seen many people do, and Donovan just abused them with, I believe, 14 fourth quarter points. On a night where, and this is a big one, on a night where Donovan just wasn't vibing, wasn't rolling, didn't seem Donovan-esque, by the end of the night, what does he have? Right. He's just that good. By the end of the night, the box score line is 25 points on 8 of 19 shooting. 3 of 7 from 3. He was that good. It's really awesome. Manuel Mudiay, just solid. What a great performance. That was just a complete annihilation that great, great teams do to people. Now off to New Orleans with 10 in a row in our books. It's going to be fun. Got a month till the All-Star break about. It's going to be super fun. Got to keep this thing rolling. There'll be some storms to come. I don't think it's a smooth sailing the rest of the route. It just doesn't work that way. But boy, are they good right now. That is Locked On Jazz. Have a great one. Thanks very much for tuning in.